I wanted to begin this morning just by asking you a question. And that question simply is, have you ever gotten off track with something? Have you ever gotten off track? Whether it was an eating plan, whether it was a savings plan, or anything that you tried to stay committed to. You know that if you try to stay committed to something, you know how easy it can be to get off track. And you know how hard it can be to get back on track. And what I've discovered is the longer that you're off track, the harder it is to get back on track. And for the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the book of Kings to learn how to get back on track spiritually. How do we reorient our lives around spiritual things and turn our hearts back to God? How do we get back on track spiritually? But before I talk about how we get back on track spiritually, I want to talk about what getting on track spiritually is not. Getting back on track spiritually is not about an emotional high. The heart of spirituality is not emotional. Some people think that they have to have this high emotional experience to be on track spiritually. But I want you to know that your emotions are a horrible barometer for your spiritual life. And we have to be so very careful, because if you're not, you'll always be seeking some emotional high to determine where you are spiritually. And what happens is that leads to church hopping and service surfing and all of these other things, because you're trying to chase after this mountain high experience of emotion. But your emotions are not a good indicator. And just because you shouted and danced and cried and served, it doesn't mean that you're going to go home and live any more committed to Christ. Say amen. Amen. Man, we had some good church. Woo, man, it was wonderful. Oh, my gosh. They played my favorite groove. Did you hear? Did you see the dance? Oh, it was just so wonderful. And then you get home and cuss somebody out. And so your emotions are not the barometer. Just because you experience something emotional, and thank God for it when we have these emotional times, but don't let that dictate to you where you are spiritually, because it's a horrible indicator. Because there are times where things are going so well in our lives. Man, things are wonderful at home. Things are going great on the job. I'm experiencing so much success. My health is good. All these great things are happening. And emotionally, I'm feeling good. But sometimes when we're emotionally high, sometimes we're the furthest from God. Because now we start worshiping these things that bring us this emotional high, opposed to worshiping the God who remains the same. And sometimes it's, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've experienced God the most when I've been at my emotional lowest. David said it was in the valley that he experienced God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear. Why? Because it's not about how I feel. It's about who he is. Sometimes those very things that make us feel good emotionally are the ones that pull us away. Another way that we get off track is when we think our feelings is what's going to lead us to actions. In other words, I'm waiting until I feel a certain way for me to do the things that will get me back on track. And the reality is that life doesn't work that way. It's the complete opposite. The reality is you don't feel your way into acting. You act your way into feeling. Let me say that again. You don't feel your way into acting. You act your way into feeling. Take marriage for example. Marriages so many times struggle and even fail because they're relying on feelings to fuel them into acting. It is quiet in this church right now. But if the truth be told, I've been married 27 years. And the truth of the matter is that the majority of our marriage is not filled with these high, intense, emotional moments.
Come on.
Three married couples, thank you. That's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that most days it's very mundane. It's very routine. I know sometimes we pretend like we're always on this mountaintop and we post these pictures that we're living our best life right now and our marriage is dripping with honey. And the truth of the matter is, most of the time, it's me. Am I right about it? And every once in a while, we have these, and thank God for them. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for romance and for all of these emotions. But if you rely on the intense feelings, what will happen is you'll be chasing a high and trying to maintain it. And what you're chasing is a mirage. And so you're waiting for these intense feelings. Because remember when y'all used to talk on the phone all night? Now you're like, leave me alone. I need to get some sleep. I got to get up in the morning. Johnny's been sick all day. I've been cooking. I've been on my feet. Leave me alone right now. But what happens is we try to chase this high. We try to chase these feelings. But you don't feel your way into acting. You act your way into feelings. The real intimacy and the commitment in a marriage isn't based on feelings. It's based on actions. And the actions will produce so much more intense and intimacy and a connection that your feelings will ever produce in that marriage relationship. There was a story about this husband who just became so disgusted with his wife. I mean, he just the sight of her made him nauseous. And he just made up in his mind, she just made him miserable. Everything about her just made him miserable. And because she made him so miserable, he decided to do was he's going to divorce her. But before he divorced her, he wanted to find a way to make her extremely miserable. So he goes to a counselor, and he goes to this counselor, and he sits down with the counselor and says, hey, here's what I want to do. I want to divorce my wife, but before I do, I need you to help me find a way that I can just make her so miserable. I want to get back at her. And of course, the counselor was like, I'm going to have no parts of this. But then he came up with this idea. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the next 2 months, and I want you to act like you love her. I want you to treat her like the Queen of Sheba. I want you to wash her feet. I want you to scratch her back. I want you to help around the house. I want you to run her bath. I want you to send her. I want you to just do everything you possibly can. Just act like you are head over heels for her and do that for 2 months. And at the end of the 2 months, then divorce her. Man, the guy was feeling good. He said, Doc, you on to something. And he went home. And don't you know, he was running her bath water. He was having long conversations about stuff he knew nothing about and cared nothing about. And he was writing her love letters and leaving notes. He was cleaning the house before. He would get home early to clean the house before she got there. He was running errands for her. He was just doing, he was going out of his mind for her. He was at work one day and the counselor called him at the end of the 2 months and said, hey, how goes it? Are you a happy bachelor now? Have you divorced your wife? And he says, man, I don't know what to tell you, man, but I'm so in love with this woman, I don't know what to do. He says, man, I could never see myself leaving her. I'm head over heels. I will never leave this way. He says, it's a miracle. And the counselor said, no, it isn't. It's the way relationships work. You don't feel your way into actions. You act your way into feelings. King shows us how to act our way into intimacy with God. How to get back on track spiritually. Kings teaches us that to get back on track spiritually, you have to have a heart for God. You must turn your heart back to God if you are going to get back on track spiritually. This is a theme that we can find throughout Kings that talks about how to get reconnected, how our hearts have to be reconnected to God in order for us to get back on track. I'll just read just a couple of verses from 1 Kings chapter number 8. It's just a sample. It says, "And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies who took them captive." In other words, you can get back on track if you turn with all of your heart. Verse number 58 says, "May he turn our hearts to him to walk in obedience to him and keep the commands." Verse 61 says, "And may your hearts be fully committed to our Lord." If you're going to get back on track spiritually with God, you've got to turn your heart back to him. But the opposite is true too. When we're off track spiritually, it's because our hearts have turned from God. Listen to how King Solomon is described when he got off track spiritually in 1 Kings chapter number 11, verse number 4. It says, "As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been." In other words, he was off track, and the biggest indicator was because his heart had turned. This is what the prophet said about King Jeroboam when he got off track. He says in 1 Kings 14 and 8, "I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. But you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes." And then listen to what 1 Kings 15:3 says about King Abijah. He says, "He committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, and as the heart of David his forefather had been." In other words, when someone gets off track spiritually, it's because their heart has been turned from God. And the only way that we can get back on track, it begins by turning our hearts to him. Kings tells us how we can give our hearts back to God. That Kings offers a lot of information on how we can do this. Second King tells us about a king named Josiah. Josiah became king at the age of 8, but he was too young to assume the throne. And so as a result of that, he was being raised by a priest. And this particular priest was a man after God's own heart. It was teaching this king and raising him in the fear and the knowledge and to love God. But the people of Israel's heart had turned. They were chasing other gods. They were doing everything and anything that they could possibly think. They were so far from God. But eventually when this king became of age, when King Josiah became of age and he went to the throne, the first thing that he wanted to do was to rebuild the temple. So he gathered everybody together and got the monies and the treasury and says, "Hey, we're going to rebuild the temple of God, the place that represents where we worship, where we connect with God." And as they're rebuilding the temple, they discover something that had been lost. And what had been lost was their Bible, the Torah. As they're renovating and putting things back together, they found the Torah. The first 5 books of the Bible, the books of the law that Moses gave us. And so they bring the books, they bring the Torah, they bring this Bible to King Josiah. And Josiah reads the entire 5 books. And after he reads the books, he tears his clothes and begins to lament because he sees how far the people of God have turned their hearts from him. And not only does he tear his clothes and after reading it, but then what he decides to do is he decides to gather everybody up, all of the people. He gets everybody together and he brings them together and he begins to read the Torah. He begins to read the word of God out loud to everybody so that they could hear the word of God. This is what he said in 2 Kings chapter number 23, verses 1 through 3. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. And he made in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. In other words, they got back on track spiritually by turning their hearts back to God. And here's how they did it. And here's how we can do it too. Here's how they turn their hearts back to God. And here's how we can do it. And let me warn you, it's really simple, but hard to do. The three things that they did, write this down somewhere. They rediscovered God's word, they read the word, and they responded to God's word. They rediscovered God's word. Let me ask you something. Where's the Bible in your life? Where's the word of God? What role does the word of God play in your life? Is it an add-on or is it central? Is it the rudder of your life? Is it the northern star? Is it what guides your life? Where is the word? Where's the word of God in your life? Have you lost it? Have you misplaced it? Have you put it aside? Have you put it under the rubble of stuff? I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about, oh, it's on the kitchen table. Oh, it's in that drawer over there. Oh, it's on my phone, on the app. I'm talking about, where is it in your life? What role does it play? Do you need to find it again? Do you need to rediscover the word of God again in your life? You may be here and you say, well, you know, man, I've never had a Bible, but I'd like a Bible. Before you leave, stop by the Connection Center, leave us your name, come back next week, we'll have a Bible for you. If maybe you're a 21st century baby and you don't know what books are, and you want, there's an app, the Bible app, and you can download that app. It's called the Bible app. Put it on your phone. The first thing that they had to do is they had to rediscover the Bible. And then the second thing they had to do is they had to read it. It is so amazing how many people, Mom Marva, are searching to get on track spiritually or trying to get the answer to spiritual things, and they never read the Bible. The Bible has all of the answers to life's questions. It'll tell you how to navigate through your relationships, how to manage your money, how to build a successful career, how to conduct yourself. The Bible has all of the answers. It shows you the habits that you need for success. It's in the Bible. Everything you need to know about life and a relationship with God is in His Word. It's not a hidden thing. It's not a secret. It's not that one person has the revelation and another person doesn't. God revealed it to us in His Word. Amen. It's in plain sight. But you've got to read it. You've got to make a commitment to say, I've got to carve out some time every day to get into the Word of God and begin to read it. How do I live a spiritual life if I don't feed myself a regular diet of His Word? How do I stay on track? How do I have the strength? How do I sustain myself if I'm not reading the Word? Lord, help us. Well, where do I begin, Pastor? Begin at the Gospel of Mark. Well, why at the Gospel of Mark? Because it's short. 16 chapters. But it tells you of the life of Jesus Christ. Start right there. Well, how much should I read? How much can you read? If you haven't been reading anything, then one verse is much better than where you were. Can we just be real? Maybe it's two verses. Maybe it's half a chapter. Maybe it's a section. Maybe it's the full chapter. But read it. Which leads me to the third. You got to rediscover it. You got to read it. But then you got to respond to it. You got to respond to the Word of God. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's only one response to the Word of God that will put you back on spiritual track. Only one. You got to do what it says. You got to live like it says live. You got to think like it says think. You got to act like it says to act. Only one response. And that response is obedience. Obedience is the only response that would get you back on track spiritually. But can we talk for a second? Can I admit something to you that we can just keep between us? Sometimes I don't feel like obeying. I know I'm the only one in the room, and sometimes I don't feel like obeying. And sometimes it's easier for me to disobey than it is to obey. Let me close with this. What happens is my feelings can get in the way, and your feelings can get in the way, and our feelings can get in the way and cause us to disobey. Because obedience sometimes is difficult. And there's some common excuses that we use to disobey. Let me warn you of these. The first one is we grant ourselves an exception clause. You ever grant yourself an exception clause? I know what the Word says. And this applies to everybody else in the same exact situation. Except me. Oh my God, I'm the exception to the rule. I'm the exception to the Word. I know what it says. And I know in any other circumstance, in any other situation, it would apply to everybody else. But, whoa, I'm that one in a trillion that it doesn't apply to. And so we grant ourselves an exception clause and say, that's reason why we don't have to obey. But how many of you know His Word applies to us all? A second thing that we do to get out of trying to obey the Word of God is we treat the Bible like a buffet. You ever do that? You ever treat the Bible like a buffet? What do you do when you're at a buffet? What do you put on your plate? The stuff you like. The stuff that tastes good, the stuff that's appealing, the stuff that looks good, the stuff that really makes me feel good. That's what I put. I don't put the stuff I don't like on my plate. There's no room for that because I'm full on the stuff that I like. And so what happens is we do the same thing with the Word of God, right? And we could treat it like a buffet, and we say, oh, I'm only going to take the stuff that I like and that tastes good and feels good to me. And the other stuff, I'm just going to reject. But then what we do is we say, well, God has my heart. And you know why he has my heart? Because look, I'm eating the stuff that tastes good and feels good. But unless you take it all, he doesn't have your heart. But that's what we do. And then the last excuse that we do when it comes to disobeying God is we stand over the Bible instead of allowing the Bible to stand over us. In other words, we become the judge of the Bible, and the Bible no longer judges us. What happens is we become the authority, and the Bible then has to submit to us. So I make the Bible say what I want it to say and mean what I want it to mean. That's such a dangerous place when we begin to stand over the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. There are some passages that are hard to understand at times. But if truth be told, we don't struggle with the stuff we don't understand. The stuff we do understand is where we struggle the most. And so in our struggle, what we'll do is we will change the Word of God and become the authority over the Word of God to accommodate our situation so that we can disobey His Word and do it all in the name of the Word of God. Oh, here's what it's meant for thousands. Man, this is what it's meant all throughout church history. This is how we've understood it. This is the revelation that we've had. But now you got a new one that only you got, or you and your friends. And so now, no. That's not what it means. This is what it means. I'm the authority now over the Bible, so that now I can live in disobedience and still say I'm in the book. 2 Kings says that we have to turn our hearts back to God. And if we're going to get on track spiritually, the only way that we can do that is when we make a commitment to do what the Word of God says to do. When we disobey the Word of God because we don't feel like obeying it, it leads our hearts away from God. We get off track. But when we do what the Word tells us to do, it turns our hearts to God. And we get back on track. Not because we feel like it, but because I'm going to act my way into the feeling. I'm going to act my way into intimacy with God. I'm going to do the things that lead to being connected to Him. Listen, if your heart is far, don't wait for a feeling. Please, don't wait for a feeling. If you've been in a relationship for more than a day, hopefully you've learned that. Don't wait for the feeling. Because you'll never feel your way, and you always act your way into intimacy, into a connection. The spiritual life, the truth about the spiritual life is that there are highs and lows. But through it all, you can remain intimately connected to God if your heart is turned to Him. If you obey His Word, rediscover it for your life, read it, and then do what it says. Would you stand with me today? I'm inviting you today to make a commitment to